Thanks for downloading this podcast. Make sure you subscribe to get the new messages every week. We appreciate your support. Enjoy the message.
This is the fourth in this series of secret frustrations. And it really, you know, I was thinking about it and there was meditating on this. And the Lord said to me, you know, it doesn't really matter whether you are rich or poor, white or black. It doesn't matter whether you're married or not married. It doesn't matter whether you are beautiful or not, or you have weak eyes. Every one of us, amen, brother. Every one of us has secret frustration. We look so good on the inside, on the outside, but on the inside, we know that there's something that we wish that God would just remove. We have prayed about it. We have consecrated ourselves, but it doesn't seem to go. Paul was one of the people. How many of you know that Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament? And he was a very spiritual person. In fact, Paul said, I had visions that God didn't show to anybody. And some of the visions were so powerful that God would not even let me share with anybody. But Paul really said, at one time in my life, I had a thorn in the flesh. Then he said he was a messenger of Satan. Yes. I was sent to humble me. Because sometimes when the Lord blesses you, if you don't watch out, it can get into your head. Uh-huh. You can begin to think that you are spiritual because you have fasted more than anybody else, prayed more than anybody else, done this more than anybody else. So God just allowed that to happen. And Paul said, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord. The word used for plead means I beg the Lord. I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Do you have anything in your life? At your job place, in your marriage? Maybe on your body? Maybe in your family? That you have been pleading with the Lord to change. See, God could have snapped his finger and everything could have changed. But listen to what God said to Paul. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Lord, why don't you remove it? My grace is sufficient for you. He said, my power is made perfect in weakness. What God was saying to Paul is that it is when you are weak that I can demonstrate my strength. If you have it all together, then I don't have any work to do in you. But when you come to that place that you say, Lord, I have been so frustrated with this thing for so long, why don't you remove it? And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. And my power is made perfect in your weakness. I can only demonstrate my power in the area of your weakness. When you think I'm strong enough, then you don't need me in that area. But when you know that you are weak in this area, that's when you can tap into my power. Don't you know that many times things happen to us that we don't understand? And I know you people don't know, but the people online know what I'm talking about. So what do you do when you don't understand? It is the same Paul that wrote in Romans chapter 11, verse 33. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. Somebody say, God's riches are great. God's wisdom is great. Wisdom is ability to make the right decision when you are faced with different options, competing options. And he said, God's riches, they're great. His wisdom, great. His knowledge of you is greater than your knowledge of you. Amen. How impossible it is for us to understand his decisions. Let me let that sink in. Because many of you watching and some of you here have been trying for years to figure out what God is doing. There's nothing wrong with trying to figure out what he's doing, but don't get frustrated when you don't understand what he is doing. He says, it is impossible to understand his decision and his ways. That's why he says that my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Like I've always said, whether you are a Rachel blessed with physical beauty or whether you are Leah blessed with weak eyes, every one of us has secret frustration. Yes, Leah had a lot of children for Jacob, but for Jacob, Rachel was still the favorite wife. And for Rachel, what use is it to be a favorite wife if I don't have children for him? But one thing that we are going to be talking about is that don't spend the whole of your life trying to figure out why God is doing what he is doing. Just know that God has placed you right where you need to be now, where you need to be right now. So don't waste the time that you should be having a full life, enjoying what God has given to you. Don't use that time trying to figure out everything that you will not be able to figure out. All of us have secret frustrations. I'm talking about things that we wish we could just close our eyes and open and they are gone. Things that we don't understand. Things that God has not yet removed despite our pleading. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but if you are going to be honest, probably every one of us in this room has what we can't talk to everybody about it because they will not understand, but we'll talk to God about it. But I'm telling you that God has heard you. And the angel said, amen. Because I have heard somebody say, I can hear somebody say, well, Pastor, I've heard that before. No, maybe you've heard that before. I don't know where you heard it. But tonight God is saying that he remembers you. Amen? Maybe it could be in your marriage or your finances or your health. Don't you know that it's easy for you to become bitter when you don't understand? Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? It's easy for you to become bitter, angry. But let me tell you what you need to do. You need to trust in the Lord with all of your heart and not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Whatever secret frustration that you are facing right now, you must decide to not let it foul you up, sour your life. You need to stay in faith regardless of the intensity and regardless of the magnitude of that problem. Until that problem is resolved, until that situation is changed, make up your mind, I'm going to live my life in joy. I'm going to enjoy every minute of my life. I'm going to enjoy every second in my life. I'm going to just pray about everything, thank God for what he's done for me, and just release the others to him and just let him work on it until it is done. Until the situation changes, remain joyful and stay in faith. Somebody say, stay in faith. Stay in faith. Yeah, you have prayed and God has said, my grace is sufficient for you. Yeah, his grace is going to be sufficient for you for today, but do not give hope. I mean, do not lose hope. Somebody said, do not lose hope. Do not lose hope. Continue to believe God for your breakthrough. Pray over the medication. If it is a health situation, pray over the medication and keep taking it. But take it in faith. Amen? Take it in faith. Don't just swallow it because the doctor says, take it in the morning, take it in the afternoon. No. Pray over that medication. Sometimes you have to take the Holy Communion and take that medication and believe God. Believe God till the day that you pass out of this earth to heaven. that God's going to give you your breakthrough. Keep praying for that child and love him and love her regardless. Pray for your husband. Pray for your wife. Remember that you have not always been a Christian, that there was a time that you were a headache to someone. Oh, did I just say, I don't really have that in my notes. But be determined to live a full life. How can I say this to you people watching me online and the people in the house? Be determined, I'm going to live a full life regardless of my problem. Because when you live in peace, not in pieces, I'm talking about in peace, you won't be spending valuable time trying to manipulate on your husband or your wife or the situation to change the situation. You are not going to be able to spend, when you are in peace and you know that God is in absolute control of your life, you won't try to figure out why somebody is blessed and you are not. Why somebody else have the looks and you don't. You have the looks that God gave you. Take care of that look, the looks. Because I heard a story some time ago that there was this a man who saw the grass on the neighbors, and for some reason he thought that, you know, God loved the neighbor more than loves him. Look at the kind of grass that he has. Look at the, he has that kind of grass and I don't. Only to come to find out that the neighbor took care of that grass. Spent some money, bought the grass, planted the grass, watered the grass, fertilized the grass. What I'm saying is that if you took care of what God has given to you, you wouldn't be jealous of the other person across the street. You have the looks that God wanted you to have, because beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Let me tell you this. I used to work in a psychiatric hospital in Manchester, England. And you will see them bring a beautiful lady who could have been a model to that hospital. But somehow the enemy has screwed up her mind. And she will look at herself in the mirror and really hated herself. Because she said, look at how ugly I look. Look at my face. Look at my this. Look at my this. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I remember when I was in Southwest, when I was in college, there's this girl that used to have almost all the dates in college. And these other beautiful girls were wondering, you know, they were praying and they were waiting for a date. But what I had found out is that this girl that had all the dates, she wasn't, in the natural, she wasn't as beautiful as the other, but she knew exactly who she was. You had to go through her to get to her. While the others were sitting there being jealous and being, asking why, getting angry that they did not have any dates, this girl knew exactly who. Do you know who you are? Do you know what God has given to you? Do you appreciate yourself? Or you want to be like the other person? You don't even know that the other person just want to be like you. See, when you have that peace of God that passes all understanding, you won't try to figure out why somebody is blessed and you're not blessed. Why someone else has the look and you don't have. Why someone else has all the children and you don't. Why the church is not full. Somebody else has 50,000 people and doesn't even have a place to house the people. And you've been praying and you have been witnessing and you can't even have 200. No, no, no. Be thankful to God for the people that God has placed in your life to minister to. Because when you get to heaven, God's not going to ask you how many people you had in church. He's going to ask you whether you were faithful in your ministry to the ones that he sent to you. You won't try to bribe your spouse or your children to come to church. You would be praying for them and loving them from where. You know why some of them can't come to church? Because they don't want the kind of church that you have. You're manipulating, you're angry, you're frustrated. You're going to find out that frustration is a trickster. that will lure you and make you take the bait, and he leaves you stranded. Don't live frustrated because a problem is not resolved. How many times will I say that? I don't say it. The Holy Spirit says, don't be frustrated because a problem is not yet resolved. Don't live stressed because a family member won't do right. Don't stress out because a dream has not yet been fulfilled. And don't lose sleep because a prayer has not yet been answered. Teach someone, say, come back to a place of rest and peace. You need to come back to that place of rest and peace. You have to release your worries to the Lord. Psalms number 55, verse 22 says, cast. That means that the throw away. Somebody say, throw away. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will hold you up, and he will never, some of the never, let the righteous be shaken. That's why you have to learn to release your worries to the Lord and let his grace sustain you. He says that my grace is sufficient for you and my power is made perfect in weakness. Stop fighting your problems in the flesh. I mean, think about it. What have you accomplished trying to fight your problem in the flesh? What has happened is that you have driven away that child. You have driven away that spouse. You have lost your job because you opened your mouth when you should not have opened. And somebody else is enjoying the job that God placed you in to witness with your life. And you have allowed frustration to steal that job from you. Quit fighting your problem in the flesh. Stop letting it dictate every move that you make. See, a lot of people don't think. They just react to this fire here, to this fire here, to this fire. And they wonder why they are so exhausted. Because they don't have any plan. They don't have any purpose. They're just waiting for something to happen so that they will react. The thing is that if the enemy knows that you're that type of person, he will set fire here, until you die slowly, until one day you pass out. Stop letting it dictate every move that you make. When God is ready to resolve the problem, I promise you that he will. Until then, tap into his grace and live a full life. Touch yourself and say, I'm going to live a full life. Regardless of the economy, regardless of the business, regardless of the community, regardless of my people, regardless of pastors, regardless of congregation, I'm going to live a good and full life. Somebody say, I'm going to live a good life. I'm going to live a full life. Remember that God says, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in your weakness. In other words, God is saying here, I have allowed a situation that I want you to invite me in, but I can't do anything for you because you think that you've got all the answers. I'm telling you to give all your worries about your children, about your spouse, about your job, about your health. Amen. Because at the right time, God will remove what he wants to remove. He will change what needs to be changed. And if he does not change it, if he does not remove it, there is a purpose. And if he wants you to know why, he will reveal it to you. God is not trying to hide anything from you. He just reveals to you what he knows you can handle. If he wants to reveal it to you, the reason, he will. But until then, just be content of living a full life. Somebody say, I'm going to live a full life. I'm not going to die because of my worries. I'm not going to let high blood pressure or stroke or whatever take me out. No, I'm going to live a full life. Because If God does not take it away, then I'm going to trust his wisdom and his... How many of you know that God knows what he's doing? How many of you know that God loves you? See, the key to handling secret frustration is stay in faith. Somebody say, stay in faith. That means that no matter how difficult it is, put your trust in God. Put your faith in God. Say, I know my Redeemer lives. I know that he's going to show up. I don't know how he's going to show up. I don't know when he's going to show up. But that's all up to him. But I have completely, absolutely, totally surrendered to him. Believe in your dream and believe that the situation will turn around in the name of Jesus. You must not abandon your faith in God, no matter how difficult the situation may be. But you must take it one step further, though. If you don't get delivered, come to that place that the Hebrew children said, I know my God is able to deliver us. I know that he's going to deliver us. But guess what? If he does not deliver us, we're still going to love him. Job says, even if he slays me, yet I will love him. I'm still going to plead my case with his word, though. So make a quality decision to keep your joy and peace. Philippians 4, 6 to 7 in the New Living Translation says, don't worry about anything. Somebody said, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about some things. Pray about everything. Tell your neighbors everything that you are going through. No, tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. If you spend time thanking God for all that he's done, you wouldn't have time to complain. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Tell God what you need. Don't tell your neighbors because they're not ready to hear you talking about what you need. Talk to God about what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. Let me tell you this, my friend. Don't let your secret frustration, don't let the seeming contradictions in life, I'm talking about things that you don't understand, don't let them steal your joy and keep you in the dark. Have a new perspective. Say, I'm tired of questioning God. I'm tired of trying to know. Now, if you know why you are going through what you are going through, would you be able to get yourself out of it? You probably wouldn't be able to. You have the grace. How many of you know that you have the grace? Let me tell you this, Terry, you have the grace that you need for whatever you are facing right now. I don't know what that is, but I'm telling you that the grace of God is there for you. Whatever each and every one of us may be facing now, don't ever say, well, I can't handle it, because you can. We all can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens us. If God has not yet removed it, then there is a reason. Maybe he will reveal it to you in time. But meanwhile, just wholly, absolutely trust him. See, the problem with just loving God with conditions is that there will always be things that you don't understand. Your trust in God, your love for God, your surrender to God should be absolute. Because there will be something that you think should happen fast that does not happen yet. Something that doesn't work out the way that you expected. Has anybody here ever had a situation that, you know, you really had your own plan, and it seemed like something came to mess up your plan, and you rebuked the devil, and you did not even know that that was God, because God had a much better plan for you. The question is, are you mature enough to trust God's wisdom right where you are, even if things don't make any sense to you? How many of you have ever faced situations that did not make sense in the natural? I'm talking about you put in everything that you know to do. You mean you prayed, you have fasted, you have invested, you have even sowed into pastors and sowed into ministries all over the place. But the thing is still looking you in the face. But we have to come to that place in our life that we say, it doesn't matter what's going on. I am in this thing forever. I'm going to trust God till the last day of my life. Because our God is sovereign, which means that he is in absolute control of all events. How many of you believe that God is in absolute control of all events? He doesn't initiate everything. But there is nothing that is going to come into your life, Lee, that God did not allow. And if he allowed it, it was because there is a reason. We are not always going to understand everything that happens, because there will be times that delays and unanswered questions kick in. You know, you have planned and you say, well, Lord, I believe that I'm going to meet the man December this year. But who are you to set a time like that for God? No, just say to God, God, I am married to you. And in your time, send the right person. Because if you want to meet a man in December, the enemy will set you up. He'll set you up. And he will look good in the natural. The only thing is that he hasn't got any job in the last 5 years. And he doesn't even intend to get a job. He wants to just love on you. I found out that when you are frustrated in one area or the other, the enemy will try to set up a fake answer. A counterfeit, thank you so much, American. We'll try to set up a counter, and the counterfeit will look so good that if you don't have godly wisdom, we got to talk about godly wisdom. If you don't have godly wisdom, it will look so good that you say, oh, thank you, Jesus. But can you trust God even when you don't understand? Because true faith is trusting God when life doesn't make any sense. Does anybody here understand what I'm talking about? You don't need faith when life makes sense. You need faith when what you are going through does not make any form of sense. Let me just share with you a word for those of you who are wise. It takes godly wisdom to successfully handle secret frustrations. It takes godly wisdom. I'm talking about true wisdom. Like God's grace is foreign to natural mind. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? True wisdom is foreign to natural mind. In other words, the natural mind does not have true wisdom. Wisdom is in fact a divine gift that is granted by God. Now the world has got its own wisdom. How many of you have ever heard somebody say somebody is straight wise? Yeah. The enemy knows how to set things up, and it looks so much like the real thing. And God has promised to give godly wisdom to you if you are prepared to receive it. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of the neighbors. Let him read self-improvement books. No, let him ask of God. Now, God can give it to you through any means, but go to him as a source. Amen? Does any of you lack wisdom? Let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally, freely, without reproach. In other words, God is not going to rebuke you. If you say, Lord, I don't know what to do in this situation, he's not going to say, oh, you've been a member of Abundant Life Word Fellowship for 20 years and you don't know the answer. No, the Bible says that he is going to give it to you liberally without reproach, and it will be given to you. Let me tell you this, my friend. Frustration is an emotional trickster. May I say that again? I'm going to explain to you what I mean. Frustration of any kind is an emotional trickster. It often lures us into believing that our feelings are worthy of mounting fireworks display. What do you mean? It sets you up and you get frustrated. And you think that, well, it's time for fireworks. You open your mouth. Okay, you don't know what I'm talking about. Before you know, fire's all over this place. Everybody, what? You know, when those fireworks start, people come outside and they say, where is that coming from? It's coming from so-and-so house. Frustration is a trickster. It lures you into believing that you have the right to express your feelings. You have the right to give him a piece of your mind, give her a piece of your mind. Nobody can take advantage of you. You need to watch out during those times. It often lures us to believing that our feelings are worthy of mounting a firework display. This is the last straw. I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. I'm tired of waiting. Forget about it. I can handle it myself. See? See what handling it by yourself has done for the last 20 years. Because with its loud emotional appeal, we take his bet. He says, girl, don't let him do that to you. There are men there, 20 men there who can have you. And there are 20 girls there who can have you. You don't need this. You need another, you know. Why don't you just walk out? And then you walk out and they fired you. Because you thought that you were going to receive unemployment. But unemployment is going to contact them and they say, uh-uh. And now you are caught in a situation that bills are coming in, but no money is coming in. Okay, nobody knows what I'm talking about. Hopefully you don't know what I'm talking about. But what do we gain when we react instead of respond to frustration? How many of you know that there's a difference between you are reacting and you are responding? You are responding means that you already made preparation. You know how to deal with this situation. Reacting is that, you know, you just let your emotion take over. What do you gain when you react instead of responding to frustration? What is the outcome when you are fueled by, you know what I'm talking about? Frustration is a fuel that drives you, that gives you the energy to, you know, unfortunately, it's not going to lead you in the right direction. What do you gain when you allow yourself to be fueled by frustration? You say something cute to your boss, roll your eyes in the meeting, and all that you get is the last write-up, because the next time you're out of the door, snap at a co-worker, hang up on a customer. That was your best customer, though. See, feeding frustration may feel satisfying and even necessary for now. Who understands what I'm talking about? The reality sets in, and with the urgent need to clean up. What I'm saying is that when the enemy comes in and pumps you up, you don't even think about how many people are going to be affected. You don't even think about your job. You don't even think about the people, your children. You don't think about the mortgage or the car payment. You're just tired of somebody telling you something to do. We feel that we need, this is necessary. Then the reality sets in, and with it, the urgent need to clean up. We find out that our indulgence did truly not resolve the problem. Then we are left with a mess that affects innocent people. Does anybody here understand what I'm talking about? You know? See, that's what happened to Abraham and Sarah. God had given them the promise. And they had waited. They got that promise when they were 75. They're almost 100 years now. Don't you know that the passage of time can change you if you are not careful? The passage of time can steal from you what you learned all these years from Abundant Life Word Fellowship. All of a sudden, you hear a woman talking about the husband. I'm going to look the other way and pretend like I did not know what's doing. I just want a child. No, you were promised Isaac, not Ishmael. They waited for, according to them, long enough. They're going to produce a child. If God doesn't give it to me, I'm going to give myself one. No, don't teach somebody, don't do that. Realize that it usually takes less energy to refrain from indulging frustration than to clean up the mess that we make because of indulgence. That's why it's so important to exercise patience. Teach somebody, exercise patience. So when I was meditating on this, you know, what price can you pay for your, what are you willing to pay for your relationship with God, your relationship with your family, your relationship with your spouse? Is it worth it? Having your way, is it worth it? Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16 says, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion the foundation stone, a tried. In other words, God is saying, I am not telling you what I have not tried, that has not worked. What I'm teaching you, I have tested it, I've tried it, a tried a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believes shall not be in a haste. Some of the he that believes shall not be in a haste. In other words, by handling frustration well, you can remove unhealthy destruction. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? By not handling it properly in a godly, wise manner, you are going to create a mess. Look at what Abraham did. She's going to blame it on Sarah. But the thing is that it was Abraham who was the head of the household. Don't you know that God can give you an Ishmael and it will satisfy your emotions for a while. But when Isaac comes, read that story. When Isaac comes, he's going to be fighting with Ishmael. And at some point, you may have to release your Ishmael. The only problem is that over these 13 years, you have become so attached to the Ishmael. You have been talking to this man on the phone, and you have become so, this woman on the phone, that you know what you've done is wrong. But you've gone so far that you've left a piece of you in him or in her that it becomes so difficult. But see, when it started, it just seemed like, everybody else does it, but you are not everybody. And not everybody else does it. There are people who go through situations worse than you, and they are believing the Lord for their breakthrough. Amen. Now, Ishmael has been brought into the world. Who did not ask to be brought into the world? Hagar has been brought into this situation. And now, guess who is suffering? Hagar and Ishmael. No, don't put people in that situation, because every time that you want to have your way, it's going to hurt someone. It's going to hurt someone. I'm talking to somebody out there. Maybe I'm talking to someone here. It's just little by little. You get frustrated. I'm tired. No, don't be tired. Just call on the Lord. He's going to help you. Thank God that he found Ishmael and Hagar and still blessed them, but they had to go through so much. Don't think so much about yourself and you put people through so much, because God has a bigger and better plan for you. Somebody say amen to that. God's plan is a whole lot bigger than yours. It's better than yours. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says, I know the plan. Somebody say, I know the plan. This is God talking to you, Terry, talking to me, talking to you, Sophie, talking to you, Morgan, talking to every one of us, talking to you watching me right now. The Bible tells us that God says he's got a plan for you. Plans to prosper you. God is not into trying to make you destroy you. He has a plan for you to prosper you, a plan to give you hope and a great future. So when you were praying for a land, you know, think about this. When we were praying for a land, how many of you were with us in the green? Actually, when we were praying for a land, you've heard this story before. Some of you have not heard this story. So I'm telling it again for you guys who have not heard me. When we were praying for the land, when we bought our first piece of property, it was 2.5 acres. And it came to the time that we wanted to build, we wanted to expand, we needed some land. And there was a partner, a ministry partner, who heard about it and decided that she was going to give us 5 acres. And as she was the one that called me, I never even knew that she wanted to give away land, just like you were talking about. She called and said, I want to give you 5 acres. I want to start with 5 acres, and I have 25 acres that I zoned, but I'm going to give you 5 acres. Maybe in years to come, I may be able to give you some more land. And we were so excited. We went and we prayed over that place, and we anointed that place, and we did Jericho March over that place, because we were going to have 5 acres. And all of a sudden, I called that lady. She would not answer my phone. I did not initiate the deal. She was the one that initiated it. And then coming to find out that somebody had blocked. Actually, it was her lawyer, because the father died and left her about 400 acres of land. And kid folks wanted to take that land from their mother. And one lawyer came and said, I'm gonna help you. What I am going to do is I'm not going to charge you one penny. If I can secure this land for you, then you will have, I will have to have the last say before you sell this land. That was when she was 5 years old. Now she's in her 40s. And so when she wanted to give the land, I understand that the lawyer blocked it because they just sold the 2 acres to a company around that place for $2 million. And here was she coming to give the minister 5 acres. The man blocked. He said, you remember the clause in the contract. That's why you have to read the contract. There was a clause there that said that you cannot sell the land until I give an okay. So he blocked that deal. And I was furious. You don't think that pastors can be angry, but I was. I said, Lord, this is not right. Why did you let this man do this to us? We've seen the land. We've anointed. We've done Jericho March. We've done all these things. Lord, what's going on? How many of you know that just because you don't understand now, you will understand later? It could be in heaven, but you will understand it. Cut the short story long. We had to, because of that situation, if we had had that land, we would have built the church about 200, 300 yards away from the street, away from the road, from 441. If we had had that land, how many of you know that God sees years ahead? Because if we had that 5 acres, we wanted to build that church about 300-400 yards inside. But we had to build that church very close to the highway. And a few years after that, the DOT came and said, we want you to move. You people who were here, you remember, we prayed and we marched around the church and we said, God, this is your property. They can't come and take it. And we wrote a petition. And you know, very few people in Eatonton don't like us. But there's still those who don't like us, though. They need to come here and sit down. And those who don't like us, they just hear people say, somebody said something that somebody said to them, and so on and so forth. But did I say to cut the short story long? Yeah, to cut the short story long. So what had happened was that the DOG asked us to, we have just gone through that situation, and we were able to build the church. And now the DOT wants us to move. We wrote a petition, and almost every one person in Eatonton signed it. We sent to Atlanta. And they said, well, we received your letter, but we still want you to move. And I wrote another letter. I said, why don't you just extend the road across the other, on the other side? And they said, well, because we can't mess with the railroad. I'm saying to God, God, are you God or you're a man? What's going on here? But you know what? When we finally sold that place, we were able to just move just about half a mile and bought 40 acres of land debt-free. When that man blocked that deal, maybe 5 years before, we did not even know that God saw what was coming. Don't you know that God sees what is coming in your family, in your job, in your business? We moved and bought 5 times 8, 40 acres debt-free. Somebody said debt-free. I know one thing, that 40 acres is a whole lot better than 5 acres. They say that I'm the mass person in the ministry, but I don't know why she says that. But I know that 40 is a whole lot bigger than 5. If that man did not block that deal, we would still be sitting there. We had 2.5 acres, and we probably would have another 5 acres, 7 acres. But look at what the Lord has done. Don't you know that it is the same thing with what you are facing now? God has got a plan for you, a plan of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. But just because God does not answer your prayers the way that you expected does not mean that he has stopped working for you. It may actually mean that he has a better plan for you, because that was what happened to us in that situation. Isaiah 59 verse 9 says, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Let me tell you this. God does not always take us through a straight route. Who knows what I'm talking about? Sometimes what God does is that he takes us through twists and turns. Sometimes we experience disappointments, sometimes losses. Many times we experience heartaches and bad breaks, but they are all part of his plan. Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. Remember when the children of Israel came out of Egypt? The Bible tells us when Pharaoh let the children of Israel go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine land, though that was short. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. Don't you know that the God knows what you are going to be running into that might cause you to want to go back to Egypt? That's why he's taking you through this winding road. God can see things in your future that you can't see right now. He knows things about you that you don't even know right now. God has a plan for you, a bigger and better plan, Terry. I think about when you moved from Madison. We did not know that God was actually planning for a big mansion. Some of you have to go and get a dream from Terry's house. Sometimes the way up is down. Bible tells us that Jesus was high up there, but he did not count equality with God something to hold on to. But he decided that he was going to leave all that aside and become a human being so that he will understand what you and me go through. And then the Bible tells us that therefore God has highly exalted Terry Chamberlain and given her a name that is above every name. Amen? You say, why do you say that? Because I am in Jesus and Jesus is in me. Amen? God wants to give you a testimony that will be a blessing. But if you are unwilling to yield, you won't have that testimony. His plan for you is bigger and better than your plan. If you can trust him even when it doesn't make sense. For me, it did not make sense. A number of years ago when God had them move from Madison, it made a little sense though because they used to drive all the way from Madison to here. But now it makes a whole lot better sense. How many of you know that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning? If you can trust God even when it does not make any sense, I promise you that he will take you to places that you couldn't go on your own. And he will take you further than you could ever go on your own. And may his name be blessed.
Thank you for listening to Change Your Mindset Podcast by Pastor George Utup. Help us to share this message. We hope you will subscribe so you can receive the latest podcast to keep you inspired during the week. We are praying for you. We know God's best for you is still ahead. Call 706-485-0166 for more information, and be blessed.